Welcome to the Book of Mormon podcast. My name's Kyle, and I'm just a guy who really enjoys reading the Book of Mormon. As we journey through the text together, I'll do my best to help you stay on top of all the characters and storylines that are going on. But if you have any doctrinal or historical questions, you can get those answered in real time by reaching out on mormon.org/chat. Today we're reading in 1 Nephi chapter 2. In chapter 1, we got introduced to a couple of key players. Nephi, who is the protagonist and the author of 1 Nephi, and Lehi, who is Nephi's dad. They're living in Jerusalem during the reign of King Zedekiah, which is several hundred years before the birth of Christ. And Lehi, Nephi's dad, has this amazing vision in which he sees that Jerusalem is about to be destroyed and also that the Messiah is coming. And so Lehi goes out and starts preaching the things he learned in this vision to the people of Jerusalem, and they reject him. They mock him, and now they're actually trying to kill him. But Nephi ends the first chapter with what I called his thesis, which is really the story he's trying to tell, the message he's trying to get across in his book, which is this: I, Nephi, will show unto you that the tender mercies of the Lord are over all those whom he hath chosen, because of their faith, to make them mighty even unto the power of deliverance. So if you believe in God, he's going to take care of you, is what Nephi says. Let's jump right into chapter 2. For behold, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto my father, yea, even in a dream, and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Lehi, because of the things which thou hast done. And because thou hast been faithful and declared unto this people the things which I commanded thee, behold, they seek to take away thy life. And it came to pass that the Lord commanded my father, even in a dream, that he should take his family and depart into the wilderness. So God tells Lehi, the people are trying to kill you, take your family, get out. Off you go into no man's land. Verse 3, And it came to pass that he was obedient unto the word of the Lord, wherefore he did as the Lord commanded him. And it came to pass that he departed into the wilderness, and he left his house, and the land of his inheritance, and his gold, and his silver, and his precious things, and took nothing with him, save it were his family, and provisions, and tents, and departed into the wilderness. So he's traveling light. He left behind all of his stuff, except the things that are necessary for survival, and took his family and left. Verse 5, And he came down by the borders near the shore of the Red Sea, and he traveled in the wilderness in the borders which are nearer the Red Sea. And he did travel in the wilderness with his family, which consisted of my mother Sariah, and my elder brothers, who were Laman, Lemuel, and Sam. So now we're seeing the rest of Nephi's family. Lehi has a wife, her name is Sariah, and Nephi has four older brothers, Laman, Lemuel, and Sam. We're going to learn a lot about them this chapter. Verse 6, And it came to pass that when he had traveled 3 days in the wilderness, he pitched his tent in a valley by the side of a river of water. And it came to pass that he built an altar of stones and made an offering unto the Lord and gave thanks unto the Lord our God. If you're not super familiar with the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament, this might seem strange, but these are Israelites. They're living in Jerusalem several hundred years before Christ, as I said, and Israelites at that time had this practice of offering sacrifices to give thanks to God. And we will see that Lehi and his family carry on this tradition even as they're leaving the Jewish homeland. Verse 8, And it came to pass that he called the name of the river Laman, and it emptied into the Red Sea, and the valley was in the borders near the mouth thereof. Now remember, Laman is the oldest son, and so Lehi names the river after his oldest son. Verse 9, And when my father saw that the waters of the river emptied into the fountain of the Red Sea, he spake unto Laman, saying, Oh, that thou mightest be like unto this river, continually running into the fountain of all righteousness. And he also spake unto Lemuel, that's his second son, Oh, that thou mightest be like unto this valley, firm and steadfast, and immovable in keeping the commandments of the Lord. Verse 11, Now this he spake because of the stiff-neckedness of Laman and Lemuel. For behold, they did murmur in many things against their father, because he was a visionary man, and had led them out of the land of Jerusalem, to leave the land of their inheritance, and their gold, and their silver, and their precious things, to perish in the wilderness. And this they said he had done because of the foolish imaginations of his heart. So Laman and Lemuel are not on board with Lehi. They recognize that he's had visions, but they think it's because he's crazy. The foolish imaginations of his heart. And Nephi uses the word stiff-neckedness here. He talks about them murmuring. We're going to see these sorts of terms a lot. Laman and Lemuel are complainers. They do not believe Lehi is a prophet at all. They just want to go back to Jerusalem and enjoy all the nice stuff they had there. Verse 12, "And thus Laman and Lemuel, being the eldest, did murmur against their father. And they did murmur because they knew not the dealings of that God who had created them. Neither did they believe that Jerusalem, that great city, could be destroyed according to the words of the prophets. And they were likened to the Jews who were at Jerusalem, who sought to take away the life of my father." So Laman and Lemuel don't have any faith in God. They are not believers. They are like the rest of the Jews at Jerusalem who were not thrilled with the message Lehi was preaching and would have been happy to be rid of him. An interesting dynamic for a family trip into the wilderness. Verse 14, "And it came to pass that my father did speak unto them in the valley of Lemuel with power, being filled with the Spirit, until their frames did shake before him. And he did confound them, that they durst not utter against him. Wherefore they did as he commanded them. And my father dwelt in a tent." So Lehi is clearly a very powerful orator. We don't get a lot of his speeches recorded in the Book of Mormon, but here he preaches some sort of sermon to these rebellious two sons, so much so that they shake before him, and then they are more willing to go along with him. They follow him into the wilderness. That's pretty impressive. We don't know for sure how old any of these people are at this time. Based on some things that happen in the next couple chapters, it's safe to assume Laman and Lemuel and Sam and Nephi are not children. But whether they're teenagers or adults is impossible to say, but regardless, the fact that Lehi would be able to make them shake and obey by preaching at them is a testament to what sort of speaker he was. Verse 16, "And it came to pass that I, Nephi, being exceedingly young, nevertheless being large in stature, and also having great desires to know the mysteries of God, wherefore I did cry unto the Lord. And behold, he did visit me, and did soften my heart, and that I believed all the words which had been spoken by my father. Wherefore, I did not rebel against him like unto my brothers." So Nephi, he doesn't say for sure, but it sounds like maybe he was uncertain also, which is reasonable, right? Your dad says, "I had a dream last night, and now we're going into the desert." That's worrisome. That's surprising. But Nephi prays, and he says the Lord softened his heart and helped him believe the words of his father. So this is a very quiet, very subtle answer to his prayer. This is the sort of answer to prayer I'm used to receiving, where you ask God a question and he just helps you make sense of what the correct answer is. And Nephi, regardless of whether or not he had really bought into Lehi's vision beforehand, after he prays, he gets this answer and he is now fully committed to this journey. Verse 17, "And I spake unto Sam," that's his third and final brother, "making known unto him the things which the Lord had manifested unto me by his Holy Spirit, and it came to pass that he believed in my words." We don't hear a lot about Sam. Laman and Lemuel are the oldest, and they are rebellious. Nephi is the youngest, and he's righteous, and he's the one writing this story. Sam is a middle child, and we just don't hear a lot about him. We can't tell from this whether or not he was tending toward rebellion like Laman and Lemuel, or if he prayed like Nephi, or if he didn't really do anything. But after Nephi says to him, "Hey, Sam, I had this experience where I prayed, and now I really believe Dad knows what he's talking about," Sam believes in his words. And we see this pattern a lot. Sam is a good guy, or at least an agreeable guy, and honestly, I like him a lot. Verse 18, "But behold, Laman and Lemuel would not hearken unto my words, and being grieved because of the hardness of their hearts, I cried unto the Lord for them." So Nephi tries telling Laman and Lemuel the same thing. Sam believed, that's exciting. Laman and Lemuel just shut him down. They are not willing to listen to their youngest brother tell them the same crazy stuff as their father is saying. So Nephi prays for them. And in the first prayer he mentioned here, like I said, it was a sort of a subtle answer, just a quiet softening of his heart, a changing of his mind, just this sense of clarity of what the right thing to do is. In answer to his prayer in behalf of his wicked brothers, he has a very different experience that changes the course of his life. Verse 19, "And it came to pass that the Lord spake unto me, saying, Blessed art thou, Nephi, because of thy faith, for thou hast sought me diligently with lowliness of heart. And inasmuch as ye keep my commandments, ye shall prosper, and shall be led to a land of promise, yea, even a land which I have prepared for you, yea, a land which is choice above all other lands. And inasmuch as thy brethren shall rebel against thee, they shall be cut off from the presence of the Lord. And inasmuch as thou shalt keep my commandments, thou shalt be made a ruler and a teacher over thy brethren. For behold, in that day that they shall rebel against me, I will curse them even with a sore curse, and they shall have no power over thy seed, except they shall rebel against me also. And if it so be that they rebel against me, they shall be a scourge unto thy seed, to stir them up in the ways of remembrance. Okay, lots of pronouns here. It gets a little confusing. But this is remarkable, right? Nephi is now on the same, or at least a similar level of his father. He is hearing the voice of God. And he's given this promise that inasmuch as ye shall keep my commandments, ye shall prosper in the land. And inasmuch as people rebel against me, they'll be cut off from my presence. We will see this phrasing and this promise revisited over and over throughout the entire Book of Mormon, not just 1 Nephi, the entire book. This is, in my mind, one of the key takeaways of this book as a whole, one of the main messages for us modern people, that if you believe in God, everything's going to be great. If you don't, you're going to have trouble. And this final verse, verse 24 that I just read, says that Nephi's seed will also be blessed, his seed being his children, his posterity. But if they rebel, then the posterity of his brothers, of Laman and Lemuel, will be a scourge to them. And this sets up a dynamic that we'll also see throughout the rest of the Book of Mormon, where the descendants of Nephi tend to be righteous, and the descendants of Laman and Lemuel tend to be wicked. But whenever the descendants of Nephi forget about God and go off course, the descendants of Laman and Lemuel come and punish them through wars and captivity and all sorts of things. So that's 1 Nephi chapter 2. In chapter 3, the story will continue, and we will see what happens next.